Amen. I love that song. Good thing to remember every day, this is my Father's world. I know you get worried, you get upset. Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, we look at politically, we look at the world morally and how corrupt it is and all these things, the attacks on Israel and all of that. But at the end of the day, we got to remember this is our Father's world. It belongs to Him. He's in control ultimately. And believe me, friends, Jesus is going to have the last word when it's all said and done. That ought to encourage our hearts. Amen. All right, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We started a new study last week, Abiding in Christ. From John chapter 15 last week, we learned about abiding in His presence. Abiding in His presence. The Lord Jesus Christ has invited us to abide in Him, to stay in Him, to remain in Him. I believe Brother Bill said it's to remain in Jesus and make yourself at home. Just stay with Him, be at home in Christ, and that's the way we are to live our lives. And tonight we're going to learn about the fact that we are called to abide in His purpose. We need to understand something tonight, friends. We have been called by the Lord And He has saved us for a purpose. Amen. And His purpose is obviously ultimately to give us eternal life, but He has called us to live for Him in this life. Amen. And we're not just to try to use Jesus as a fire escape. 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say a prayer, and then go on about our business, do what we want to do. No. God has called us to abide in Christ and to fulfill His purpose in this life. And so let's look at John chapter 15. If you're able, let's stand to honor the Word of God tonight. I got a little scratch in my throat, so I put a cough drop in. So those of you sitting up close are in danger tonight. I've always got this fear that I'm going to cough and it's going to fly out and just stick on somebody's forehead. It'll probably be Denise.
I'll throw it back.
Yeah. So just bear with me tonight. But let's focus on the Word of God. Listen, I know there's a lot of distractions in your life. I know there's a lot of burdens on your heart. But just for the next little bit, let's put all that aside. And let's really focus on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help me to present it exactly as you'd have me to tonight. Convict our hearts, Lord. I pray that everyone in this room tonight has repented. They put their faith in Christ alone and are saved. And if someone here tonight is not saved, Lord, I pray they will be even tonight before they leave this building. Those in this class and in the other classes with the young people, please let your Holy Spirit work through your word tonight. And Lord, for all who are saved, I pray that you would help us to be true disciples, that we would abide in Christ and live out the purpose that you have called us to in this life, and that you would be glorified by our lives each day. Please help now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. There's a recurring theme as you look here at John chapter 15. Obviously, the theme of this passage is abiding in Christ. But remember that the purpose of abiding in Christ is to do something. He is the vine, we are the branches. And it's vital for the vine to abide, for the branches to abide in the vine so that they can bear fruit. And you see it throughout the passage. He says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In verse 5, he says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Which one? The one that abides in him, and he in him. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And look at verse 8 again. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And over and over and over and over again, he says, listen, I want you to bear fruit. Many people seem to have the idea that salvation is the end of all things for the Christian life. And yet that is so ridiculous, because God said that salvation is being born again. And you can't get more of a beginning than that, being born again. Your second birth, the new birth, the spiritual birth, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. And we begin with salvation, and he wants us to continue through an abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, living out his eternal purposes in this temporary life. That's what he's called us to. And listen, I get a little bit tired sometimes, friends, of the way American Christianity is today. And just to be honest, the way it is in the Bible Belt. I was talking to a good friend today, and you see these videos, you hear these reports of missionaries and missionaries in times gone by going to places who've never heard the gospel, and how sweet the gospel was to them. I listened to one man talk about in the 1940s and 50s in Romania, when the Russians came in, and as he was sharing the gospel with the Russians, he said, it was the joy of my life to share the gospel with the Russians. They had never heard anything like it. He talked about one man who came into his home, and he began to preach to him about Jesus. And he said, I began to tell him the parables of Christ, and I read to him the Sermon on the Mount, and tears came down his face, and he began to leap with joy and dance around the living room. And he said, oh, how could I have lived without knowing this Christ? And he was overjoyed to hear Jesus. And man, we studied the Sermon on the Mount, and people are like, oh, I've heard that. It's awful attitude that we have towards the gospel. But this same man, as he continued to share the word of God with him in his living room that day, he read to him about the crucifixion of Jesus, and the man began to weep, and he fell down, and he cried, and he was broken. He said, oh, this Christ, how could he be dead? He's dead. And he was broken that Christ died. And then he read to him about the resurrection. And the joy came back over the man, and he began to leap and to dance around the living room again. And he said, he is alive. He's alive. He lives. Amen. And he was overjoyed. Amen. That this wonderful Christ who had died rose again. Amen. Now, I would tell you, I talk to people today. We knock on their door. And I want to tell you, listen, you tell me I shouldn't judge, but I'm just going to tell you, there's some things that are pretty obvious in people's lives. And please don't misunderstand me. I know that people can get saved and they can backslide. I understand that. But I want to tell you biblically, people who meet Jesus are changed. This doesn't mean they're perfect and they never sin. It means that overall their lives are different. Amen. Listen, Peter was never the same after he met Jesus. Right. Oh, did he mess up? Did he shoot off things at the mouth that he shouldn't and do all kinds of? Yes, of course, but overall his life was different. Amen. People who met Jesus were changed in the Bible. Amen. And it ought to be that way today. Amen. I talk to people who are living in sin. Their house is under a pile of beer cans. they're in a not right relationship with somebody and living in all kinds of immorality, and you share the gospel with them, and they say, oh yeah, I've done that. I got saved a long time ago. And they talk about the gospel. They talk about the death, burial, and resurrection with this kind of attitude like, oh yeah, I've done that. Like, it's no big deal. That's disturbing to me. Amen. And if you've got some kind of flippant, no big deal attitude towards God dying for your sins and rising again, there's something wrong Amen. With your heart. And I'm just trying to tell you tonight that Jesus is not some kind of fire escape to get you out of hell to let you go on and living in your sin. Amen. He is to change our lives. Amen. Everybody understand what I'm saying tonight? Amen. Listen, I know if any man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. I'm not saying anybody here is sinlessly perfect. That's a bunch of nonsense. But I am saying that our lives should be changed. Amen. And that saved people cannot go in a continual, habitual lifestyle of sin. You cannot do it. Amen. How do you know? Because the Bible says that God chastises his own. And if you are a child of God and you are living in a lifestyle of sin, he is going to whoop you. And if you don't listen to that whooping, he will call you home. Amen. Do you hear me? There is a sin unto death. You know what that sin unto death is? It's for Christians who won't straighten up. He will kill you dead. Amen. You didn't know that, did you? Okay. Salvation is just the beginning. He wants us to live in an abiding relationship with him, living out his eternal purposes. We want to learn about those basic purposes today. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the Bible says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Listen, he saved us and he called us. And so many people want to stop with getting saved and they don't want to serve, but he saved us and he called us according to his purpose and grace. He saved us to give us life, but we have been saved for a reason, and that reason is to glorify God. Amen. If you want to know what the meaning of life is, let me help you out, friends, today. It is to glorify God. That's our purpose for existing. The ultimate purpose for mankind is to bring glory to our Creator. That's our purpose. And he tells us explicitly in this verse how we can do that. The Christian life is found in producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one tonight, the purpose of the abiding Christian. Number one, we should bear fruit. John 15:16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Listen, God has ordained us. He has appointed us. He has set us apart for the purpose of bearing fruit. That is the purpose of our lives, that we would bear fruit to the glory of God and that we would have fruit that would remain. Now, what a blessing that God gives us fruit that will stay. Titus 3:14, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Psalm 1:1-3, most of you know this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." When you are planted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the natural result is to bear spiritual fruit. Psalm 92:13-14, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." You want to write that down? That's a good verse, isn't it? Psalm 92:13-14. Just in case any of you think you're too old to bear fruit for God, he says that, listen, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Listen, you are never too old to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need to pay attention because some of you think your work's done. I already did that. I already done that. It's my time's over. It's somebody else's turn. No, no, no. It's still your turn. How do I know? Because you're not dead yet. Amen. When God's done with you, you'll know because you'll be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. By the way, it's one of my favorite things to preach at the nursing home. You don't believe it's the truth? Listen, if you're still drawing breath, God still has a purpose for your life. You say, well, I can't go like I used to could go. I can't do like I used to could do. And I'm just here to tell you tonight that you can still bear fruit to the glory of God as long as you are alive. Amen. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Well, you need to be planted in God's house if you want to bear fruit for the Lord. I love to preach what the Bible says, but I love it. It's such a blessing to me when the Bible preaches what I want it to say. This is one of those verses right there. Listen, you want to flourish? You want to bear fruit? Then plant yourself in the house of the Lord. I get it. The Old Testament's talking about the temple, but I'm just telling you that this place is appointed to the worship and service of our God. The church isn't the building, the church is the people, but this is where we come together. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Some of y'all need to get that, put on the back of your car. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's a good one, isn't it? By the way, some of you getting your feelings hurt because I keep saying fat, but it's right there in the Bible. And biblically, it means you're blessed. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I remember, I wish I could remember the verse. One of my pastor friends, it's his favorite verse in the Bible. It says, all the fat is the Lord's. I'm telling you that biblically, fat is a good thing. It means that you've got a lot. You've got more than plenty. It means that God is blessing you greatly. And spiritually, friends, there's so many people in our church that may think that you've already done your part. You may think that you're too old to bear fruit, but the Bible's teaching us that when we're planted in the Word of God and in the house of God, you can bring forth more fruit at the end of your life. And we have seen that in some people who continue to be faithful, continue to serve the Lord. You say, I can't do. Well, do what you can do. Do what you can do. Not everybody here is as young as Randy and Steve and can still swing a sledgehammer. Amen. But I'll testify that those men can still swing a sledgehammer. It's impressive. So if you ever have anything like that done, needs to be done, and I'm going to put this out there in case you need somebody to dig a ditch. There's nobody in Muldrow who can drive a shovel as well as Steve Mitchell can. And he wants everybody to know that. Not everybody's as young as they are, but there's still things that we can do. God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We will never be as perfect as Jesus Christ until we see Him face to face. But God has called us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be conformed to the image of His dear Son, to be becoming more and more and more and more like Christ until that day. There's so many people who get so messed up with this, and I don't understand why we get discouraged. Listen, I'm not going to be perfect in this life, but I can be more and more like Christ, and that is a worthy goal. It's going to happen one day. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And let me tell you this, don't let those words like predestinate and stuff mess you up. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You know what that verse is saying? that God knows who's going to get saved, and he is foreordained, predestinated, that everybody who gets saved will be conformed to the image of Christ. Amen. We hear those words foreknow and predestinate, and everybody gets all mixed up with that. But the Bible is very plain. Who God foreknew, he predestinated. You will be made like Christ, and we have the joy of striving to be like Christ until that day. Till that day. God wants to change us. He wants to make us better. Amen. He wants to make us more Christ-like. Don't you want to be better? Amen. You have that desire in your heart to be better, to be more like Christ? Amen. I don't know why people are so afraid of change. I want to change. I want to be. I don't want to be the same as I've always been. I want to be different. There's a little girl who asked her grandpa, "Did God make you, Grandpa?" He sure did. And she thought for a long time. And she looked at him and she said, "Did God make me?" And he said, "He sure did, sweetheart." She thought for a long time. And she said, "You know, Grandpa, God sure is doing a lot better job these days." You know, one day, we're going to be just like Jesus Christ. And that ought to be our heart's desire, that there's as little change that has to happen as possible when that day comes. Christ is to have the preeminence. What happens when we abide in Christ? We produce fruit. All throughout our text, if you don't abide, you don't bear fruit. If you abide, you bear fruit. So what is the fruit? I got a couple of ideas for you to contemplate tonight. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Now, if you take the time to back up a little bit in Galatians chapter 5, you would see the works of the flesh that are manifest, and he details those. But then he comes down to verse 22, and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit." So he's contrasting the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. And we want to concentrate on the fruit of the Spirit, because if we abide in Christ, we're going to produce something, and it's spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Very quickly, love will be manifest in the life of someone who is abiding in Christ. Now get this, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what happens in the person's life. This is what naturally grows from the life of someone who is abiding in Christ. You guys with me? There's a change. And this love is agape love. It's a godly love. It's a sacrificial, unconditional love. And it's not a love for self. It's not just a love for your family. It's a love for everybody, even your enemies. That's the kind of love that Jesus Christ promoted. It's the kind of love that he taught his disciples about, and it's the kind of love that can only come from the Holy Spirit of God and the life of someone abiding in Christ. And there are people who do not love others. Therefore, they are not bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times, friends, if we're honest, that we love almost no one the way that we love ourselves. And that's not of Christ. Love will be evident in the life of those who are bearing fruit for Christ. Joy. Now, we've talked about this so much, but joy, biblical joy, is not the world's happiness. I told you before, little Debbie's, that makes you happy. But the Holy Spirit of God, the joy he brings is something completely different. Let me tell you about the joy that God gives, the joy of the Holy Spirit, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy does not depend on your circumstances. Amen. That's the joy that when Paul was bound and thrown into the Philippian jail after receiving many stripes, they could in that jail sing praises unto God. They had joy in their soul. It didn't matter that they had just been whipped. It didn't matter that they were locked fast in the stocks. Their circumstances didn't matter. It was joy that God had given them. And what an incredible thing. What an incredible thing. And throughout the ages, there have been Christians who have been tortured for their faith, and in the midst of horrible, horrible circumstances, They sang praise to God. How is that possible? Because they have something the world can't understand, and that's joy from the Holy Spirit of God. The next one's peace. Peace is that stillness, that tranquility in your mind that comes from God. The peace of God that brings stability, that brings strength to our life. Peace that passes understanding. And again, this peace goes beyond our circumstances. How many of you have turmoil in your life? There's two of you? Oh, three. Oh, okay. All right, a few more. Anybody have turmoil in your family? There's certainly turmoil in the world. People are looking for peace. People try to look for peace in all kinds of places. But I want to tell you something, friends. There's a peace that only God can give. And you can't get it anywhere else. I saw something on Facebook today. At UAB, the university, they put out a flyer on campus. They've got some counselors available standing by, and they're going to have some classes to help people cope with the impending inauguration of our new president. They want to help the students there and faculty and staff to be able to cope. And they're going to have some safe places where they can come and get support. I'm not making this up. It's truth. And so they'll get together and they'll hold hands and they'll cry and say nice words and try to find some peace. I don't really know what our world's coming to, but I know this. People are messed up. Amen. And people are trying to find peace everywhere, but we're the only place it can come from. And that's from God. And I want to be careful here. I know that there are real medical needs, and sometimes people need doctors and they need medicine, and I get that. Please don't misunderstand me. But no matter what your situation is, you cannot have real peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's impossible. Amen. It's impossible. Long-suffering. Long-suffering is steadfastness under pressure. It really means to just suffer long. It means to be able to go through trials and hardships and to be able to deal with it. It means to suffer offenses from people or problems at work or at school. It means to just keep moving on through those things. And that long suffering, to not quit, to keep on going, is a fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness is the idea of kindness and being kind and sweet. Now, listen, you know that there are some people who pride themselves on being gruff and hateful and just telling people how it is and telling people how, listen, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is to be gentle and kind. The next one is goodness. And can I just say, when we're talking about the fruit that God wants us to bear, God, Jesus Christ, called us to shine our light. How? By doing good works so people could see them and glorify our Father in heaven. It's doing good. Doing good to people. And by the way, outside of Christ, you can't do any good. But when we do things in the power of the Spirit and for the purpose of glorifying God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bring Him glory, and that really is good. Faith. The Holy Spirit of God will help us to grow, build, and strengthen our faith as we abide in Christ. Meekness is defined as power under control. It's giving Christ the preeminence in our lives and relationships. It's dying to self, dying to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Temperance means self-control. And only the Holy Spirit of God can help us to get control over our minds and our emotions and our spirit and our bodies. Only the Holy Spirit of God can help us to get self-control, temperance, to do the right things. Not only when we think about bearing fruit, do we think about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. This love joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. But we have to also consider what Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. In verse 8 in our text, we read, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." What kind of fruit does an apple tree bear? If it's a good tree, good job. Gold star. Pear tree. Orange tree. Oak tree. Oh, just let's see if I get somebody to say oaks. Squirrels. Oak trees grow squirrels. Listen, disciples make disciples. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You know what I believe the Lord's saying? You need to make lots of disciples if you want to be a disciple. You want to be glorify God, then bear much fruit. How do we do that? By bringing other people to Christ. He that winneth souls is wise. Why? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. One of the greatest fruits that we can bear in our life is to share the gospel with someone and have them come to Christ. To take other believers and help them to grow in their walk with Christ, to help them to be a real disciple so that they're reaching others for Christ. This is the fruit of our lives, is who we are bringing to Christ. And can I just tell you, friends, if we're not seeing people saved in this church, there's something wrong. You say, well, we're to sow and we're to plant and water and God gives the increase. I get that. But listen, the farmer who never sows any seed can't expect a harvest. But the farmer who sows seed should expect a harvest. And I believe that if we're faithful in sharing the gospel, we can expect a harvest. Amen. Now, how can you say that? Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Listen, if you don't have it marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Do you see it? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Galatians 6:9 says that we should not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now listen, we've got precious seed, don't we? The seed is the word of God. It's precious. We've got that. If you got the gospel, you got the right seed. I think what we're lacking is going and weeping. That's why I appreciated some of the prayer requests tonight, because with tears in your eyes and tears in your voice, you said, pray for my brother and my sisters, pray for my son, pray for my grandkids, pray for these people. Why? Because you got a burden in your heart. You want them to be saved. That's what we need, friends, is a burden for lost people. Listen, if we don't go, we can't expect them to be saved. But if we don't go with tears, why would we expect God to move? If it's not a burden to us, if it's not moved us, why would we expect it to move someone else? If the gospel doesn't cause us to reach out to others, I wonder how much it's really reached us. You know what happens when we start bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at verse 8 in our text one more time. Herein is my Father glorified. Did you know that you and I can live a life that'll bring glory to God in heaven? Amen. That we can do something that will glorify Him. We praise Him, not just with our lips when we sing songs. No, we praise Him with our lives when we bear fruit for Him. And I believe our lives ought to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit, friends, is something you can see. I'm telling you, right now this time of year, I can't tell the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree. Or a peach tree or a plum tree or any of the rest of them. This spring when the leaves come out, I can't tell the difference. I can't tell the difference until the fruit's on the tree. Fruit is something visible. Fruit is something beneficial. And I'm telling you that God is calling us to have visible, beneficial fruit in our lives. Evidence that we've been changed by God. Evidence that we're living for Christ. Evidence that we're abiding in Christ. And His love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and meekness and faith and temperance, all those things ought to be showing in our lives. And all of those things ought to be helping us to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, I'd like to invite you to stand with me, please. Our purpose in this life is not to make money. Our purpose in this life is not to fulfill the American dream, to have a nice house and nice things. Our purpose in this life is not even to raise good kids. That's all fine and well. Our purpose in this life is to glorify God regardless of our circumstances. We get caught up into this lie that our lives have to be just such and such and so away. And I'm here to tell you, it does not matter. Whatever situation you are in today has been Father filtered. If you're here, God has allowed it to happen. And that may be tough. That may be hard pill for you to swallow. But I'm telling you, when Paul was floating out there in the sea for 3 days all alone after a shipwreck, God allowed him to be in that place. And in the middle of that ocean, in the middle of that storm, you might say, why would God allow this to happen? I don't know, but I know God did. Everything that gets to you has to go through Him first. And so don't focus on your circumstance. Focus on your purpose. It's to glorify God by bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what burden might be on your heart tonight. Decision you might need to make, or maybe you just need to come and ask God to help you through whatever you're going through. I just want to invite you, if the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, that you come right now while we sing.
Page 569.
Number 569.